to a little phrase that is found three times in this portion of Scripture. It's found in verse 2, it's found in verse 4, and it's found in verse 6, and it's the little phrase, "I will not leave thee." These were the words, of course, of Elisha to Elijah. The portion of Scripture that we have read together records for us the conclusion. The last day of Elijah's life on earth. And that in itself is a wonderful thing to look at and see what Elijah did on his last day on earth. But as he was on this earth for the last day, he took a journey. He journeyed from Gilgal. He made his way to Bethel and then to Jericho and finally to Jordan. He took his mantle and he wrapped it together. He smote the river Jordan and God performed a miracle. The waters of Jordan went back. And Elijah and Elisha went over on dry ground. And then as they went on, the chariots of fire and the horses of fire parted Elijah and Elisha, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Now Elijah, in his journey and in his ascension to heaven, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a picture, a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. The river Jordan speaks of death. And just as Elijah went down into the river Jordan, and he came up the other side, and then he ascended bodily into heaven, so the Lord Jesus, in his life on earth, he went down into death. The Bible says he tasted death for every man. But death could not hold him. He tore the bars away. And just as Elijah came up on the other side of Jordan, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And just as Elijah, having Jordan and ascended bodily into heaven, in the view of not only Elisha and the sons of the prophets, he ascended into heaven, Jesus himself, in view of his apostles, not only rose from the grave, but he ascended bodily and literally into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father until his foes and his enemies be near his footstool. Now three times on his journey from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho to Jordan, Elijah challenged Elisha. You'll notice it in verse 2, verse 4 and verse 6. Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, I pray thee." In other words, you stay where you are. The Lord sent me on a journey. You stay here. I'm going on. And three times, Elisha gave the answer, "I will not leave thee." Those words remind me of Ruth's response to her mother-in-law Naomi. When Naomi challenged Ruth and Orpah to go back to the land of Moab. And what did Ruth say? "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." She was going to go all the way with Naomi. She was not going to leave her. She was not going to desert her. And she was not going back to the land of Moab with its false gods and its images and its idols and its false religion. She was going on with the Lord. And she was going to the house of bread. She was going to Bethlehem where the Lord had met his people. And so to Elisha, when Elijah challenges him, "Stay where you are. Go back." He says, "I will not leave thee. I'll go with you all the way." The hymn writer said, "I'll go with him all the way." And dear friend, this morning, if you're saved, you're born again, you profess to know and love the Lord Jesus, Then that's what he wants for each one of his children. Yes, he'll challenge you at times. He may send difficulties to overcome. But he wants you to say, like Elisha, I'll go with you all the way. I'll go with you as far as I can. I'll go with you all the way. Elisha was at Elijah's side every step of his pilgrimage here. And the Lord wants us to follow him. He wants us to go on with him. He wants us to go through with him. And I believe in the portion of scripture that we read, there are lessons for the child of God who really wants to go on with God, who wants to go through with God, who wants to be with the Lord every step of the way. There are lessons for that child of God to learn from this portion of scripture. I want you first of all to notice the pathway that Elisha trod. You see, it was a pathway of hardness and difficulty. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you are in your journey with the Lord. There are going to be problems and difficulties to overcome. The hymn writer said, it's not an easy road. We're traveling to heaven. And many are the toils on the way. Job said, man is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There'll be difficulties, there'll be problems to overcome in your journey with and for the Lord. You'll notice here that Elijah, he starts his journey. Verse 1 tells us he went with Elisha from Gilgal. So he travels from Gilgal, and verse 2 tells us, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And so he travels from Gilgal to Bethel. Then from Bethel, he takes his journey and he tells us that the Lord had sent him to Jericho, verse 4. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. This is a man's final day on earth and the Lord's leading him right up to the end. Don't want to get sidetracked, but believer, listen, the older we get, we shouldn't get out of being led by the Lord. We should be constantly looking for the Lord to lead us. And right up to the very end, the Lord's leading Elijah. He's led him from Gilgal to Bethel. And then he leads him to Jericho. And then in verse 6, he leads him again to Jordan. And that's the journey. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. You see, Bible commentators estimate that this was a journey of some 35 miles. It was a journey that scaled the heights, that took them some 3,000 feet above sea level, Bethel. And then going down to the River Jordan, I've never been to the land of Israel. If God spurs me, maybe I'll get someday before I'm promoted to the glory land. But Jordan, as you know, it's below sea level. Some 1,000 feet below sea level. And so they're traveling one day. 35 miles, scaling the heights, some 3,000 feet above sea level, and then going down 1,000 feet below sea level. And it was all carried out one day. On foot. No cars, no modern transport. What a journey that was. I remember as a student in the Whitfield College of the Bible, at the end of my first year, there was a walk, and I think it was going from Londonderry, and it was ending in Portadown, and we had just finished college, and looking back, it was really foolish. We decided, some of the students, we would go and walk the first leg of it. And from Londonderry to Limavady, I can tell you, it was only about 22 miles. And I was glad to see the finishing post. And I was rather stiff for a few days afterwards. This was a longer journey than that. And it was scaling the heights and descending the depths. And yet, with the hardness of the journey, Elisha followed Elijah. Men and women, there will be many difficulties on the road of the Christian life. There will be many obstacles to overcome. There will be many problems in our way. There will be many mountains to scale. There will be many valleys to plumb the depths of. But the question is, with all the hardships, will you still go through with God and go on with Him? You know, there's a spiritual lesson here. Because each one of these places has a spiritual significance. Gilgal was the place where Joshua brought the children of Israel before they went into the promised land. And it was the place where the rite of circumcision was readministered among the people. It was the place of separation. And then they came to Bethel. It was the place of consecration, because it was there that Jacob kneeled before God and he says, if God is going to provide all my needs in life, then this God shall be my God. And I give him the tenth of all that I have. He consecrated his life to God at Bethel. And then you come to Jericho. Jericho was a place of victory. And the victory wasn't won. Remember, the walls of Jericho fell down. But they didn't fall down because Israel bombarded the walls. They didn't fall down because a physical battle was fought. No, God said to Joshua, you tell the people to walk round the walls once a day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they're going to walk round them 7 times. And they're going to blow the trumpet and they're going to shout and the walls will fall down. It was a place of obedience and they won the victory by obeying the Lord and the Lord's word. And then Jordan, it's a place of death. I tell you, if we're going to go through with God, then there has to be a cutting off of the sins of the flesh. That's what the rite of circumcision has spiritually spoke of. There has to be a consecration unto God that we'll give ourselves to the Lord. There has to be the victory of obedience to the Lord's word. And there has to be the dying on the self and the dying on the sin. Oh, the challenge goes forth. As Elijah gave it to Elisha, the Lord grant gives it to you. Tarry, here I pray thee. Will you say like Elisha, I will not leave thee. Should it take you to Gilgal? The place where you have to cut off some sin that you've been engaged in. If it brings you to Bethel, where the Lord challenges you to consecrate your life afresh. If it brings you to Jericho, the place where you're going to be in obedience to Him. If it brings you to Jordan, the place where you need to die on the sin, will you go with Him? With Him all the way. You know, it wasn't only a difficult path. It was a lonely path that Elisha trod. I want you to notice in these verses, look at verse 3, the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came to Elisha. There were schools of the prophets. They were like modern day Bible colleges. There was one in Bethel. There was one in Jericho. And Elijah, on the last day of his life, he went and visited the believers and the sons of the prophets. He was in the company of God's people. Don't abandon God's people. But right up to the end, make friends of God's children. And he goes to visit them. But they come not to Elijah, they come to Elisha. And they say to him, look at what they say. Knowest, verse 3, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And then he comes, if you look down, the very same thing happens at Jericho. Verse 5, the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Now, these men had a great knowledge of what was going to take place. They knew the Lord was going to take Elijah. They knew Elijah was going to ascend into heaven. But look at verse 7, something very interesting. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. Note that. Elisha went with Elisha and he was at his side right until the end. Until the chariot of fire and the horses of fire parted him from Elijah. The sons of the prophets followed to view afar off. Doesn't it remind us of Peter? On the night in which the Lord was betrayed by Judas and denied by the apostles, tells us Peter followed afar off. I wonder this morning, is there a child of God in this meeting and you're following the Lord afar off? Oh, like the sons of the prophets, you could boast in knowledge. You have a great knowledge of God's word. You know, knowledge puffeth up, Paul said. It's charity. It's love. Love for Christ that edifieth. And for all their knowledge, you know, there are believers and they're just like the sons of the prophets. They fill their heads with the knowledge and the doctrine of the Lord and His word, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they're following the Lord afar off. And though these sons of the prophets followed afar, Elisha was by the side of Elijah. He was right at his side. And the Lord wants us to be near to Him. Nearer, still nearer, the hymn writer said, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest. I'm asking you this morning, are you going to follow the Lord afar off and miss out on the blessing? Or are you going to follow right by His side? Are you going to be close to Him? Regardless of what others may say or do, you may find that there are other believers who are content to follow afar off. But all go through with God and say, like the little children's chorus, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. That's the path that Elisha trod when he was following or going on with Elijah. But then I want to come to the second point this morning. And I want you to see not only the path that he trod, but I want you to notice the power that he requested. For there in verse 9 it tells us it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. If you read the Gospels, you'll discover the Lord Jesus asked that question to various people on numerous occasions. What shall I do for thee? I'm going from memory now. I don't have the reference in my notes. I think he asked that question to Bartimaeus. I know that he asked it to the two blind men that followed him in the way. And I think he asked it to others. And you have Elijah as the type of Christ. And he's asking, what shall I do for thee? The Lord Jesus would challenge his people today. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. And he challenges us to come before him and ask for those things that we need. And Elisha, he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for earthly position or power. He asked for God's help in his service for the Lord. For look at what it says. And Elisha said, verse 9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. You know, when Elijah went up into heaven, and he's the type of Christ, the Holy Ghost came down in great measure upon Elisha. And when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, oh, the Holy Ghost came down upon the apostles. It's a picture of and a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll notice what Elijah says in response to Elisha. Thou hast asked an hard thing, verse 10. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. What was the requirement? The requirement was that Elisha would observe the Elijah going up into heaven, that his eyes would be fixed on him. And oh, the Lord gives the Holy Ghost to them that ask. And the Lord gives the Holy Spirit not only to those that obey Him, but to those that are looking to Jesus for the Spirit. And the lesson is this, that while each believer is sealed and indwelt with the Holy Ghost, Elisha was asking for the Spirit's power to serve him. You see, that's what the term double portion refers to. It refers to Elisha being Elijah's successor. And therefore, because he was his successor, he needed the same Spirit, the same measure of the Spirit, to go on and to serve the Lord successfully and well. I want to take a moment and explain the double portion. If you turn back in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. You see, some have looked at this statement, Deuteronomy 21, and they've wondered, is Elisha asking to be a better man or to have more of the Spirit than Elijah had? That's not what he was asking at all. He wasn't in rivalry with Elijah. He wasn't in competition with Elijah to see if he could do more or be a better servant than Elijah was. No, that's not what the double portion refers to. It's explained in Deuteronomy chapter 21. And I want you to notice in verse 15 to 17, and verse 17 gives the explanation. If a man have two wives, one beloved and the other hated. And I suppose I need to explain what that means. For the word hated there simply means loved less. Man didn't hate his wife. Man had two wives. He loved the one and he loved the other less. You have an example of that in Hannah and Peninnah. Elkanah loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. And that phrase appears time and time again in the scriptures. You think of how the Lord Jesus said, if a man hate not his father and his mother, he's not worthy of the kingdom of God. Well, the Lord was not teaching that a man is to hate his father and his mother, because that's completely contrary to what the commandment teaches. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother. You're to love your mother and father. It simply means, if you don't love them less than you love me. You see, we're to love our parents. And husbands are to love their wives, and wives are to love their husbands. But we're not to love them more than we love the Lord. We're to love Him first. And so it simply means to love less when that phrase is used. And that's what it means here. One beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him, and here's a double portion. The firstborn was to receive a double portion of the inheritance, twice as much as the other sons. And the law here is that the father couldn't pick and choose who the favorite son was. He was to acknowledge the firstborn was to receive the double portion. He was the father's heir. He was inheriting from the father, and he was to receive the double portion. Now, it's in that sense that Elisha says to Elijah, give me the double portion. In other words, I am your successor. I am inheriting your work, your labors. I'm God's anointed prophet for Israel. But if I'm going to fulfill that office, I need the same power of the Holy Ghost that you've received. And he realized and he knew that he couldn't go on in the work of God, and he couldn't serve God, and he couldn't be a witness for God without the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's asking for. And isn't it interesting to note Elijah, right to the end, he was a man who lived, who moved, who served in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Elisha's now asking for that same power to fall on him. Brethren and sisters, I say again, and God willing, next week we will learn night by night a little more about the Holy Spirit and about His fullness, but we cannot serve the Lord. We cannot be a witness for Him. We cannot be a successful or a blessed or a powerful witness for Him without the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And just as Elisha requested it, the power that he sought to go on and serve the Lord, so if we are going to go on and serve the Lord, go on with Him, we'll not only walk with Him no matter how hard the journey is, but we'll continue to serve Him. And we need the fullness of the Spirit to do it. Jesus said If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Yes, there was power that Elisha requested. There was the pathway that Elisha trod. But then, finally, this morning, I want you to notice the person that Elisha sought. You see, after Elijah was taken up, you'll notice in verse 14, he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" When he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. The person that he sought, Elijah had gone from him, physically speaking. But now Elisha sought the Lord to be with him. And you'll notice that he uses the word Lord, that is the name for Jehovah. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is Jehovah, the God of Elijah? The name Jehovah is a reference to the unchanging nature and characteristic of God. He is the I Am. That's what the name Jehovah refers to. The I Am. The unchanging one. The ever-present one. And Elisha is saying, "No, Elijah has gone from me. I want the Lord, the unchanging one. What you were to Elijah, be to me." There's a lesson there for our generation. What the Lord was to a previous generation, he'll be to us. He doesn't change. And if he moved in revival in days gone by, if he moved in blessing and gave salvation and increase in days gone by, he can do it for us. That's exactly what Elisha is asking for. He's saying, "Where is the Lord of Elijah? Lord, you parted the waters of Jordan for Elijah." He took the mantle and he wrapped it and he smote Jordan. And he's saying, "Where are you, Lord? You smote Jordan and you parted Jordan for Elijah. Do it for me." And the Lord did it, and he opened Jordan for Elisha, and Elisha went over. What he did for Elijah, he did for Elisha. Listen, what a challenge that is to our hearts. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, what he's done for previous generations. We need to be seeking the Lord that he's doing in our generation. He's the unchanging God. And as Elisha challenged the Lord and the Lord parted the waters, he did for Elisha what he had already done for Elijah. He's asking and he's seeking a token for good. He's asking the Lord immediately to show himself strong on his behalf and be to him everything that he was to Elijah. Oh, may we have that cry on our lips. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is the Lord God of the previous generation and generations? You know, Elisha never asked that question again. It's interesting to note that he only asked it the once. Because the Lord came down and proved himself straight away. Give him that token for good. Elisha went on in the power of the Lord and ministered for him and served him until his own home calling. And oh, may we prove God in our day and generation. May we walk with him regardless of the pathway. May we seek his power to serve him in our generation. And may we prove him that he is in our midst and he's working on our behalf. And he's present with us in all that we do.